Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the Epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now a final reading in the second epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now the Lord will bless the reading of his word, and we trust help us to speak something profitable and beneficial for our souls this afternoon. I would like to speak on some things that we are. We are not what we once were, thank God. We are not what we should be. They say the biggest room in the world, or the greatest room, is a room for improvement. But from Romans chapter 8, we read we are saved. Now this salvation refers to the redemption of the body. But I would like to apply it to the salvation of our souls. We are saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read that we are his workmanship. That is the workmanship of God. We are a new creation. Not a patchwork, but made new in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, we read that we are debtors. We are under an obligation. We owe something. We are debtors. At the end of that chapter, we read that we are more than conquerors. Now we all can understand what a conqueror is. But it says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I miss 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says there that we are ambassadors for Christ. That is, we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who bought us, who delivered us from the wrath which is to come. Now we are saved. It's a grand thing to be saved. The greatest blessing that could ever come your way and mine was the blessing of salvation. Psalm 32 verse 1. Blessed is a man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, the happinesses of the person that's saved, saved by sovereign grace. Moses, as he looked over the company of Israel, he says, happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord? God's salvation, the greatest thing possible that could ever happen to a person, is to be saved and to know it. Paul says, we are saved. A number of years ago, the SS Atlantic left Liverpool, England, for New York. When it came near Sable Island, Nova Scotia, the graveyard of the Atlantic, the SS Atlantic went down with most hands and board drowned. But there was a family in Liverpool. They were very interested in that ship and what had become of it. Because there was one in that ship that was closely related to them. One day, after a few days, communications were not as fast as they travel in these times in which we live. But they received a telegram. On that telegram there was only one word. It was the word saved. Did they know what that meant? That meant everything to them. That conveyed to them the husband, the father of that family, had been spared from drowning in that ship. That man went on to New York and did some business that he was going to do. He went back to Liverpool, England. After being united with his family, Then they brought out the telegram, and they told them about how happy they were whenever they received it. That man got the telegram. He had it framed in his office. He put it on the wall. Every morning, whenever he came in, the first thing that met his gaze, the word "see." Did it mean anything to him? It meant everything to him. Saved? Are you saved? The greatest blessing possible is the knowledge of sins forgiven. Saved from hell, fitted for heaven. We never deserved it, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We are saved. We read from Ephesians chapter 2. We are his workmanship. How possibly most here today, you and I have been saved as a result of a man coming to preach the gospel. But we are not the workmanship of a preacher. We are his workmanship. It was the work of God wrought in our soul that brought us to Christ for salvation. My mother, of course she was my mother, she was attending some evangelistic meeting. They were barren, there was nobody getting saved. Someone told the preacher, Ethel Scott, that was my mother's name, she's interested, she would like to be saved. One night he cornered her. He says, Ethel, would you like to be saved? She says, I would. He read her a verse. Do you believe that? She says, I do. He says, you're saved. She says, I'm not. He read it again. He asked her the same question. He said, you believe that? I do. Then you're saved. She says, I'm not. He read it the third time. Went over the same thing. When she says, I'm not saved, he said, you're making God a liar. Well, she didn't want to do that. So she figured, then I must be saved. That's the workmanship of a preacher. That's not the workmanship of God. Whenever a man does a work, when he makes something, whenever it's complete and finished, he can stand back and he can look at it. And that's his workmanship. When God saves a sinner through the work of Christ, when as he looks at you and me, brethren and sisters, we are his workmanship. And my mother heard the gospel again in her life. God, by his Spirit, convicted her of her need of salvation. And God in mercy saved her by his grace. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Not patched up. Made brand new in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Naaman, when he went to the house of Elisha, he was told to go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee. Naaman thought the prophet would come out, put his hand over the spot, and recover the leper. But it didn't happen that way. Whenever he was lost his pride, went to the muddy Jordan, dipped himself 7 times. The spot was not only healed. It says his flesh came again, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was made brand new, from head to foot, all over, not a patchwork. Ah, brethren and sisters, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, saved by sovereign grace, heaven born, having fun. Thank God. Job said to his friends, so-called, you think you're the people and that wisdom's going to die with you. Well, while we are saved and we are his workmanship, we're not proud, but we're thankful, aren't we? We should be. Thankful to God for what has been wrought for us through the work of his Son at the place called Calvary. You read in verse 12 of Romans chapter 8. We are debtors. I don't mean in dollars and cents. A debtor is a person who's under an obligation. Something has been entrusted to him. Paul says we are debtors. In Romans chapter 1, he says, I am debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He was under an obligation. God had delivered his soul from hell. He owed the world the gospel. Do you? Do I? Am I under that obligation? I owe my neighbor the gospel. I have been delivered. The greatest deliverance possible. Does my neighbor know he needs to be saved? Does your neighbor know they need to be saved? If they're ever going to be in God's heaven. Brethren and sisters, we are debtors. Sing sometimes, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But we have a little revised version. Count your many obligations, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord wants done. So many. We are debtors. Those who go before the sheep, before the flock. Those who take a lead in the assemblies amongst God's people. Brethren, you're debtors. To feed the church of God. To feed them with the word of God. Wholesome words. Words suitable in their upbuilding. And they're edifying for the glory of God. Elder, older sisters, they are debtors. Debtors to teach the younger ones. If not by lip, by their behavior, and their deportment in this life. So many avenues that we are debtors in this. Paul says, we are debtors. Then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we are ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ. Now an ambassador is a person, he's in a strange country. He has been sent there. He's there as a representative from the company, or the country from which he's been sent. We are citizens of heaven. We have been bought. What was the price? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No silver nor gold hath obtained our redemption. No riches of earth could have saved this poor soul. The blood of the cross is our only salvation. And Jesus Christ maketh us whole. We are representatives of heaven. Ambassadors for Christ. We represent him. It is said early in the book of the Acts, as they looked upon Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. As those who know us, with whom we come in contact, whether neighbors or workmates, Here's where we were. Would they suspect you? Would they suspect me of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? To own Him? To represent Him as we travel through the scene? Brethren and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ. I think it's about 3 years ago. There was an ambassador from another country in Canada, and he just made one statement about the politics of Canada. The country that he represented sent for him right away, took him home. Why? He overstepped. He said something that he shouldn't have said. He took part in the politics of Canada. We are ambassadors for Christ. May God help us to speak for Him, to be loyal to Him for the glory of God. But then we read, we are more than conquerors. One who conquers is one who wins. Many wars have been fought. The 39-45 war was fought. Britain and the Allies won the war. But there were many lives lost. There was a tremendous loss to Britain, even though they won the war. But they were conquerors. Brethren and sisters, we are more than conquerors. And you're conquering in mine. And what has been wrought for us through Christ, there's no loss, it's all gain. The Lord Jesus Christ, we through Him are more than conquerors. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at the close, towards the end of the chapter, Paul reminds the saints of those who would be, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, those who are still living, what their song of victory be? O death, where is thy sting? Those who have gone before us, what will their song of victory be? O grave, where is thy victory? Conquerors through Him. Because Christ has been raised, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What a gathering that is going to be. It always encourages our hearts, touches our souls, conference gathering. Oftentimes we have just wished if the Lord would come now and take us home to glory. From a conference meeting, after spending some time around the Word of God. That would be grand. Well, brethren and sisters, it might happen today. He that shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Great advancements have been made that we have seen in these past few years. Communism collapsed just about. Uprisings in the world, different things taking place. We don't look for signs, but at least you can look at them. And we know the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. The time is short. I'm sure each one of us have loved ones without Christ. I took my grandson this past summer to every meeting, longing to see him saved. He had thoughts, he told me, but yet, he's not saved yet. When the shout is given, how can I go up to my father, and the lad, and the lassie, met with me? May God stir our hearts. We're debtors to them to do everything in our power that is at our disposal to seek to win them to Christ. What an awful thing if one of them would die in their sin and be in the lake of fire forever. May God stir our hearts and move our souls. We are really blessed of God. We enjoy God's blessings and God's salvation. May the Lord help us a little while left to live for Him, for His glory.